This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Hey, I decided at the end of 2020, since it's been a different kind of year, to do a different kind of training. So I've prompted my crew, my team, Team David Meltzer, to give me questions that they're curious about for next year and for things that have happened this year. I really want to get your feedback to see. We're going to do our own live Q&A after this as well, of course. But I wanted to get my team involved. They've done such an extraordinary job. Want to thank them all. You would not believe what we've pulled off in 2020. Once again, with great change comes great opportunity. And I'm so proud of my team for taking advantage of the opportunity to make more money, help more people, and have more fun. Let me know what you think. Remember, this is the playbook. Download it, like it, share it. It's going to be extraordinary 2020. Let's get rolling with some questions from my team, and then we'll get rolling with questions from you.
Dave, myself and the other people who have been working for you the longest, Monday morning meetings have been a staple of the company culture you've created. This year was the year where you really got specific on five practices that kicked off our meeting every Monday this year. Can you walk everyone through what those five practices are?
My biggest enlightenment of 2020 was effectuating not only the four values that I teach. Number one, gratitude, which gives you perspective, right? It allows you to not just see the light, the love, and the lessons, but share the light, the love, and the lessons, and gives us the perspective that pain is just a turn signal, not a stop sign. It is a turn signal indicating we have that lesson to learn and that we are moving in a better place, a better direction to make our situation better. Gratitude is the most powerful thing. So reiterate some of the early lessons to say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up. I started doing and reiterating that not only for myself, but for my team. Every Monday morning meeting, I went over these four values and my five daily practices. The second value really came to light. I studied the Course in Miracles. I've always said that forgiveness or empathy gives us peace. But what I didn't know, and what frustrated me in 2020, was everybody searching for certainty. Everybody was searching for certainty. And I would say the only thing that's certain is uncertainty. If anybody could tell me what is going to happen for sure tomorrow, we can make billions of dollars and give it all to charity. But we can't. But the only quest for certainty that I have is forgiveness. Because if I can learn to forgive the unforgivable, I have much more certainty in my life. The third value is accountability. Now, accountability asks two critical questions tied into the lessons of gratitude and forgiveness. Of course, that question is number one, what did I do to attract this to myself? Utilizing the law of gravity, law of Goya, get off your ass, and the law of attraction. And then two, most importantly, what did I learn from it? Once again, thematically in 2020, seeking the love, light, and the lessons and sharing those with others so they don't have to pay the dummy tax. And all of these together aggregate to the fourth value, which was originally in Connected to Goodness, a book in which I will give anybody anytime, david@dmeltzer.com. I'll sign it, send it, ship it for free, pay for your shipping. But effective communication turned into inspiration. Number one, understanding the distinction between motivation and inspiration. Motivation can be fear-based. A lot of people say, I'm motivated by fear. Absolutely, you can be motivated by fear. Not the best choice of the way to be motivated, but you actually can be motivated by fear because it gets you up, it gets you back up, it gets you started, it gets you back started. But where effective communication came in was the distinguishment between the motivation, which could be fear, and something that can't have fear in it, which is inspiration. In spirit, not knowing or realizing that not only are you connected to everyone and everything, but you're always connected to what? The greatest source of lessons, the greatest source of light and love, this powerful source that comes through us for others. No longer do you have to live in a world of not enough where you're a victim and everything happens to you. No longer do you have to live in a world of just enough, like I did, giving and buying things you don't need to impress people you don't even like. Instead, the thematic venture in enlightenment of 2020 has been allow life to come through you for everyone else. Give your life away. Come from nowhere to now here, back to nowhere. Give your life away. Now, that's where we started the year with these four values. I started with my five daily practices incorporating these values.
How would you explain being a student of your calendar to a five-year-old?
Well, let me go through the five daily practices because I went through the four values. First, the first daily practice is take inventory of your values. Now, this is a difficult practice, but it is the cornerstone of my New Year's resolution last year, which was to build a habit machine. I was tired of giving New Year's resolutions about habits that I wanted to have for the year. Instead, the habit that I was going to have was to build a habit machine. What I found to be the fuel of the habit machine is every single day to take inventory of four different values. They don't have to be equal, not 25, 25, 25, and 25%. They can be weighted, but every day I started for a minimum of 10 minutes taking inventory of my personal values. That's what's important to me for that day. My experiential values, which really ended up being much more valuable than I thought because I didn't realize how much of my day I didn't have planned, not planned, or didn't give attention and intention to, including my sleep. Once I started saying, this is what I want to experience today, I started being more productive, accessible, and gracious with my time. The third one I've always done, which is my gratitude or my giving values of what I'm going to provide, how I'm going to be of service. And then I really worked on my receiving values of what I want. I became a big fan this year of the what, not the why. I coached a ton of people to understand this is what I want today. And here's the nuance that I learned. Don't be afraid of being a hypocrite. If you are afraid of changing, and it makes it easy to change when you're taking inventory every day because they're not dramatic changes at the end of the year where you're like, I got to quit drinking or I got to quit the. It's just subtle changes because every day you're changing and you're not afraid of changing, growing, accelerating, or being called a hypocrite, being laughed at, scoffed at, made fun of. Simply people applaud you because you're expanding and growing at all times and learning. The second habit is to ask. Now, I say the irony of my whole life is that the two most important things that I learn and teach, and I practice, by the way, is ask and say thank you. Two things I learned before I was 3 years old. Obviously, say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up every single day, your life will change in a minimum of 30 days. But more importantly, ask. Too many people see things as separate, inferior, superior. They think people are literally gatekeepers or hurdles or mountains or walls between us and what we want. It's not. If you learn to ask in person, on the phone, via email and media, traditional and social media, do you know anyone that can help me? You are opening the door to connectivity. You are opening the door that everybody is a sponsor or a power sponsor. You're reminding yourself that a tree has no branches. One branch would not go to war against another branch. It killed the tree. You now look upon everybody as being helpful and everyone's connected to so many more people. On average, everybody has about 1,000 followers today. When I was a kid, there were three or four people that you could ask for help from. Today, you can have such an extraordinary reach. So learn this question. Do you know anyone that can help me? Now, the third practice is being a student of the calendar. And this is a bigger lesson for me than any other one, because this is what made me realize what Lou Holtz was talking about. It's not what I say, it's what they hear. And what I mean by that is, to me, being a student of the calendar is so obvious. And I think that everybody just like remembers and knows to say thank you before they go to bed or when they wake up. But instead, being a student of the calendar encompasses the mathematical equation of luck. What do I mean by that? If you want to be lucky, you have to focus in on or pay attention to what you want. Then you have to use the conscious continuum. What does that mean? You have to think what you want, say what you want, do what you want, hear what you want, write what you want, see what you want, believe what you want, all of these different things. And if you aggregate what you're focused in on, if you look at what you're focused in on, pay attention to it, and give that intention of thinking, saying, doing, believing, smelling, hearing, touching, all the things that you want, guess what? The coincidences occur. The luck of what you want appears. This is the mathematical equation. So I applied the mathematical equation of luck, studying something I hated when I was young. I refused to study. I'd rather cheat on a test than study for it. That's just, you know, my high school motto. But more importantly, I learned that studying is the greatest gift. I study every day. Hour and a half in the morning, hour and a half at night. I study, I pay attention to and focus in on and think, say, do, believe in all those of what I want to create the coincidences or luck. So what do I use as my biggest base? My calendar, right? My calendar, what I have planned, what I don't have planned, and my sleep. And so every day I'm studying in such detail the intricacies and the intention behind the 5-minute phone calls or the 20-minute meetings, behind the interviews, behind the speeches, behind the podcast with the playbook, behind the TV shows like 2-Minute Drill and the Elevator Pitch, behind everything I do, the books, the guides, the exercises, the trainings. I'm putting intention and attention to it in a different way, and more bigger coincidences occur, and I'm not limiting myself at all. Now, the fourth daily practice is do it now. I love my favorite joke, right? I hate statistics. 99% of statistics, the only statistic I know to be true is 99% of all statistics are made up. But the one statistic that changed my life is 100% of the things that you do now get done. And the difference between fulfilling, passionate, purposeful, and profitable people is they get stuff done. So ask yourself two questions. What do I do, right? What do I do right now? Ask yourself, can I get this done now? And if you can do it, you'll save twice as much time and be exponentially more successful. And more importantly, if you can't do it now, what do you do? Utilize Roosevelt's matrix of urgency and importance. Look it up. There's a thing called Google. You just search Roosevelt matrix, urgency versus importance, and then decide on what part of your calendar you want to put that in. And if it's not urgent or important, delegate it to somebody else. And then finally, we'll get into more detail, but you have to be a ferocious Buddha on the fifth practice. It's this all-encompassing lifelong journey of practicing ending fear, spending minutes and moments in fear. Everything I do is within the context of not wasting time, emotion, energy.
What's your advice to people who are starting a new career, starting a new business, or starting a new job, or even people who are going back to work after being laid off from COVID or other related instances? What advice would you give them in 2021?
Yeah. If you've been laid off, family passed away. I had an uncle pass away. One of my good friends passed away at 40. All types of things happen. How am I accountable for COVID? How am I accountable for losing my job? How am I accountable for shutting down my business? How am I accountable for any of this? You are. You may not be liable, may not be your fault that COVID happened or your business went out of business or you lost your job, but you're accountable. There's a much bigger thing to realize beyond liability. Liability does incorporate blame, shame, and justification. There's laws and statutes and common law, all types of things that apply to see, you know, that's why we have unemployment. Blame, shame, and justification. You're not liable for certain things, but you're accountable 100% of the time. Meaning, what did I do to attract this to my life? And what am I supposed, the minute you look at what am I supposed to learn at it, you allow yourself to find the light, the love, and the lessons to utilize gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability and be inspired. It is what motivates and inspires you to find out the expansion, the growth, the acceleration. In other words, what I believe the accountability question allows you to do, it secures that you are exactly where you're supposed to be, gives you complete control. It allows you to angle to what you want with all the fierce, ferocious persistence that you have, but it also gives you the patience to allow it to come to you. In other words, gives you faith that you'll end up somewhere better than you are today, even though someone may have passed away, even though you may have lost your job, even though you may be bankrupt, whatever is happening in your life that you may not be liable for. You can blame, shame, and justification your way to anything, but you are 100% accountable for it. And if you take accountability, you're going to end up in a better place with that type of faith. People that are in transition, my advice to you is to take inventory not only of your values, but of your capabilities. The better you understand your own skills, your own knowledge of what and who and your desire, you can then align it with the opportunities that are doing well or will do well in 2021, stable opportunities in 2021, or ones that you think will do well as a lottery ticket in 2021. People, once you know what your capabilities are, can find huge opportunities within the context of this extraordinary change.
You talk about practice ending fear. If you told me to practice a jump shot, I would understand what that means, go to the gym and shoot a basketball. What does it actually mean to practice ending fear? What am I specifically practicing?
It's so funny because my own kids will say, Dad, what do you mean by practicing ending fear? When I know I'm going to football practice or cheerleading practice or dance, I understand how I can practice that, but that doesn't make sense. Let me explain. First, I needed to define fear to my children. Because as much as you think there's fear or ego, everybody has a predisposed understanding of it. Here's how I define fear. One, Freud did a great job of talking about primal fear. So what does that mean? Number one, we do things that we're afraid will cause us to fight, to run away or flee or flight, that we're not going to eat. So, you know, one of the greatest fears is we're not going to have enough money to eat. We're not going to have enough food, right? These are basic primal fears that cause you to do dumb shit. And then the other F word, procreate. A lot of people are driven from fear that they're not going to be able to procreate. But to practice ending fear goes far beyond the innate emotional primal fears. It goes to these secondary fears that ruins people's lives. And how does it ruin people's lives? It wastes their time. It wastes their emotions and energy. It wastes their money. It accelerates them in the wrong direction, away from what they want. Let me explain. How many of you have worried in your life? If I could add up all the time, emotion, money, and energy you've wasted worrying, how rich would you be? How many of you have felt inferior? If I could take all the time, emotion, money, and energy you wasted on feeling inferior, how much richer would you be? How many of you have been offended? This is my biggest one. I practice this every day. If I could have two things back, oh, three really. If I could have all the time, emotion, energy, and money back from worrying, resenting people, and being offended. If I could have all that back, I can't even tell you how rich I would be. There'd be so much time, emotion, energy, and money in my life that I've wasted. And so when I talk about practicing ending fear, you need to identify what you're afraid of. We all know the primal fears. You're going to be afraid of the food, the fight, the flight, and the other F word that means procreate. But are you aware, or can you raise your awareness and definition when you have a need to be angry or anxious or frustrated or scared? Or what if you have a need to be offended? Guilty is another one. How many of you, time, emotion, energy, and money, feeling guilty about stuff? What does that get you done? It's a wasteful energy. So what I teach is to practice not ending it. I probably shouldn't say that because it's impossible, because we can't give an egoectomy and take it out of us. But why don't we practice diminishing, dissolving the fear, dissipating the fear? Meaning, I tell myself when I number one, identify what I'm afraid of, stop. Just stop. Don't resist it. Don't fight it. Don't go around it, over it, under it, oversell it, back end sell it, manipulate it, cheat it, lie it. Don't do any of that. Just stop. Breathe, which I say drop. But breathe through your nose, out through your mouth. Be calm. Get to what I call center or neutral. I call it dropping to your higher self, because being central or centered or neutral is your highest self, because it allows you to have less interference to the light, the love, and the lessons, to connect to the power that you are connected to, the one that you're most afraid of. But more importantly, you need to practice dissipating, dissolving this idea of wasting time, emotion, and energy by identifying it, stopping, dropping, and then you can move in the right direction. If you're in fear-based consciousness, primal or secondary, your mind, your body, and soul are on fire. These should be key indicators that you're in a fear or ego-based emotion. Therefore, when you're on fire, stop, drop, and roll. It's that simple. Make practicing diminishing or ending fear your goal. Tell yourself when you're afraid, cancel, stop, drop, and roll. Minutes and moments. That's what I spend. The difference in my life is I only spend minutes and moments in fear, not hours, days, weeks, months, and even years I've spent in that emotion.
What's your favorite memory of 2020?
My favorite memory for this year is the Meltzer videos, especially the dinner one. No doubt. It awakened me that I would trade Super Bowl passes, sideline masters, whatever I've been gifted in my past experience that I've given up dinners like that, I'll never do again. Best experience of my life is those Meltzer dinners.
What's your biggest regret and what was the lesson that you learned from it?
Yeah, my biggest regret was the car video because I set out to prove that you could take $1,000 upgrade and, you know, leave your ego out of it. And I ended up so disappointing, but doing exactly what I was trying to teach against. I did really well until I got up to a high-end vehicle and then I let my emotions take over. It was a disaster. And I ended up only investment that I lost money in, which is really hard to do when you started with $1,000. And it wasn't the money, because I started with $1,000, built up to what should have been an $80,000 car, which I ended up having to wholesale because I made so many mistakes for like 20 some. But the amount of time, emotion, and energy was the most disappointing regret that I had, because I had promised myself that I would focus in on making money, not focus in on having my money make money. I was going to double the amount of money I could make and allow my money to be safe and grow.
What is your focus for 2021?
My biggest focus for next year is empowering over 1 billion people to be happy. I'm way ahead of schedule. I am so excited. I can't make it to 4 a.m. anymore because I get such great feedback and input that we together are building 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000.
Where do you see the most opportunity in 2021?
A lot of people ask me where I see the most opportunity in 2021. Well, with great change comes things that are overbought and oversold. So I see great opportunity in the things that are going to be oversold. You got to be counterintuitive. If you look at like Bitcoin, the stock market, there has to be things that are literally overbought, and which means there's opportunities. And so I am cashing up and keeping my eye on the stock market, on Bitcoin, on real estate, on things that people can buy and sell and determine not the bottom, but when something's oversold. Now, how do you do that, by the way? Go find someone. I did this today, not to name drop, but Andy Dane Carter was on my IG Live and he is a 30-year expert in real estate. And I just had one simple question for him. Hey, can you let me know when things are oversold, right? So I can buy. That's it. I don't want the bottom. Because if all I'm doing is buying things that experts tell me that have been in the space that are oversold and selling them when they're overbought, I don't need to be at the top and the bottom. I'm averaging a margin of millionaires in between.
I know in a spiritual sense, I know in a value sense, I know your mission is to empower 1 billion people. But what do you, David Meltzer, someone who doesn't place value on many material things, what do you want yourself in 2021?
It's funny, people ask me pragmatically what I really want, like something material. And ironically, it's such a difficult question. I think it's hard, but I think it may be a Tesla. I'm going to gift my Volt away to my favorite employee. And I think if things go well, that I can buy a used Tesla. And, you know, I just think it's an extraordinary car without, you know, it's not a Ferrari. It's not a, you know, a Porsche, but it's a car. I'd buy a used one that's in really good shape. But I think that's materially what I want. Yeah. So, you know, in conclusion, I think the greatest lesson about this year, whether we go into the roaring 20s or into a depression, is that the people out there that can find the light, the love, and the lessons, that can live with gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration, will do better in times of accelerated change. And I see that across the board, that the optimists and the toptimists, the people live with their values, are doing extremely well. And those that live below the line in blame, shame, and justification, those that pay attention to what they don't want, what's missing in their lives, what other people want from them, are still having the exact same struggles and challenges. So join me in 2021. Find the light, the love, and the lessons. Live with the four values and the five daily practices. Ask for help. Most importantly, join me every Friday. I'm here for you. I got private coaching groups, one-on-one, anything to help you. I'll give you my books, my guides, my exercises for free. Please just reach out, david@dmeltzer.com. Thank you so much. And of course, remember, especially in 2021, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Hey everyone, I just wanted to invite you to join me on our new hit television show, 2 Minute Drill, shown on Bloomberg Television and Amazon Prime Video. Join me to see the best and the worst of how to pitch. Join me, my friends. This is Dave Meltzer with 2 Minute Drill.